Praise God. If we could go to prayer together tonight. The Collins are acquainted with some folks by the name of Dwayne and Amanda, and they're on their way back from their honeymoon, and they've been in a very, very serious accident. We need to pray God touch this new family right now if we could. Why don't we lift them up? Awesome. Praise God. We're going to do a little more work in the 86th Psalm tonight. We've been talking about David and his attitude in the 86th Psalm, and we'll read verses 8 through 12. Praise God. Psalms 86 and 8. And would you say, among the gods, there is none like thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name, and I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. Let's give him praise and thanks and bless his name. Mighty God, we praise you. We worship you. We lift you. We thank you for your word in this house tonight. We praise you for the privilege to handle your word and to call on your name. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. What an awesome privilege to handle the word of God tonight. And we had wonderful sessions with Brother King this past weekend. Appreciate the blessing that teaching and that book has been and will be to those of us who are still involved with relationships with our children and those who are in prospect of having children. And that's quite a number of folks that are about to embark on that journey of relationship. But I suggested to you that next week, perhaps Monday through Wednesday, there would be some time for you to have some personal time with Brother King in counseling. And a good number of you have responded. If you'd like to get on that list, I'll start making appointments probably the end of this week. But if you'd like to get on that list, then you need to get your name to me tonight before we close down altogether tonight, or give me a call tomorrow. In the first verses here, we've been talking about David's attitude and David's attitude as an overcomer and as a winner. And it is obvious in the narrative story of David's life, but it's also very obvious in what he says and how he sings through the Psalms. And he has a winning attitude. He gets on the right side of issues. He has enemies and he has problems and he has struggles like anyone else. But by choice, he gets on the right side of every situation. And you've got a choice in every situation in life to get on the winning side, or to get on God's side, or to get on the faith side, or be on the biblical side, because there is always a right side to stand on. Praise God. The challenge in the Old Testament was, whoever is on the Lord's side, come over here. And then again, Joshua, choose you this day who you will serve. So there's always a crossing the line and getting on God's side and being on the right side of issues. And so you just make a choice to get up in the morning like David, not knowing the course of the day, but to proclaim, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Simply declaring, I'm going to serve God in it, and I'm going to have a testimony in the kingdom, and I'm going to walk by faith, and I'm going to believe the word of God, and I'm not going to bring shame upon a God who has paid for my soul. I'm not going to be wah, 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 wah all day long when God has been so good to me. I'm not going to be a cloud of depression when God is such a sweet and a wonderful wonderful presence and a good God. I'm not going to sit down and suck my thumb and let a perfectly beautiful day, an awesome day that God has made, slip through my fingers like gold through my hands. I'm not going to do that because God has given me so much and he's been so good to me and he laid down his life for me and he's got a mansion for me in glory and he took stripes on his back for my healing and he came to see me when I was in trouble and he heard my cry when I called out to him. I'm telling you, if I don't have another friend, I've got the only friend that matters. And if I don't have any other family, I've got a family in the house of God that matters. And by faith and by the word of God, I know something good is happening in my life right now. My God, things are changing for the better right now. I can feel them. Things are moving in the right direction right now. I can see it in the word of God. Things are going my way because the word of God declares all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and all the called according to his purpose. Somebody say praise the Lord. That's just a brief example of getting on the winning side. My God, we just got to get there. You let the devil come pick your pocket, take your joy if you want, but your joy is your strength. It's with joy that you draw forth from the wells of salvation. You got to get the joy. You've got to get it and keep it. The old timers meant that when they said, do you have the victory? And I know you've been down to the graveyard, and I know you've had disappointments, and I know people have betrayed you, and I know all that, but I also hear my brother Joseph saying, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, and he got on the winning side of it. Somebody meant to do me hurt, but God took it and turned it around. My God. Haman built a gallows to hang Mordecai on, but God hung Haman on his own gallows. I'll tell you, if you'll walk this right, God will hang your enemy on his own gallows. Praise God. Praise God. So everything works together for good for God's people. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and sing to him. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And some of you talked it, and some of you sang it, and that's fine. That we accomplished the purpose. You got to get on the right side of this. I don't want to hear the latest gossip about anybody because I just want to think the best of everybody. And I believe good not only for me, but I believe good for you. And I believe good for that when you're trying to run down. So let's don't complicate the thing. I'm doing my best to stay on the winning side of it. Have you ever been just walking through a perfectly fine day and feeling good about it and somebody brought you bad information and torpedoed your victory for a moment or two? It's amazing what a little news can do, so just don't do that. Just let's not talk about, let's eat the fat, let's drink the sweet. Praise God. How about that? And there's a lot of good that's happening right now. There are blessings on every side. Praise God. Anybody really, you're just blessed. There's good things happening in your life. I want you to just take the top of the heap, the first four or five things, and I want you to thank God for them right now. Just open up your mouth and begin to count your blessings and thank God. My God, I thank you for health and strength, for my family, for the Holy Ghost, for the Word of God. My God, you've been good to me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I thank you. I praise you. Worship you, Lord God. Glory to God. Praise God. Okay, so that's where we've been going with this, and this is such a meaty psalm. We've been here camping out for a while, but that's okay because we're not in a hurry. We don't have really anything to do till the Lord comes. And that's job number one, want to be ready when that happens. That's what we're doing. What are you doing here? I'm getting ready for the Lord to come. What else are you doing? Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Oh, it's all important and it's all significant, but it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. Psalms 86 and beginning in verse 8. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. There's nobody like Jesus. He said, neither are there works like your works. There's nobody that does work like he does. Nobody that does work like he does. He said, all the nations that you've made, they're going to come and worship before thee. And they're going to glorify your name, for thou art great and you do wonderful things. Thou art God alone. Everybody say, he's God alone. Another profound statement of the oneness of God in the house of God. He is God alone. Praise God. And there's nobody like him. Praise God. Nobody. Nobody can compete with God. Not if you've got your head screwed on straight. Nobody can compete for your passion for God. Nobody can get between you and your calling in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Because there's nobody like God. I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying about David. He's got a winning attitude. He says, God, God and God alone, and there's nobody like him. No works like his works. He does wonderful works. Can you say amen? Amen. There's nobody like him. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. He said, all the nations are going to come. Now this is a sidebar because we're really going somewhere else tonight. But isn't it amazing how God orchestrates the destiny of nations and how that nations are being drawn into their prophetic places even now? I mean, even now with the United Nations and with Israel, you start, and the granddaddy of all of that prophetic scripture is Israel is in the land. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10 and 11. Israel is back the second time. Isaiah said it from 700 years before Jesus was born. And tonight, as you're sitting here, Israel's in the headlines of every newspaper. They're back. They're back. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 24, that their return would signal the end of the time of the Gentiles. We being Gentiles are the featured activity in the time of the Gentiles. And now we know that Israel being back has marked the end of that time frame. Israel's back and our time is almost up. Your time is up. And you better get your house in order. And you better get your mind stayed on Jesus. Because the prophecy is coming to pass. Israel is in the land. Everybody say Israel's in the land. Ezekiel chapter 38, Gog and Magog is Russia, Gomer is Germany, Persia is Iran, Togarmah is Turkey, and Ethiopia and Libya, all of them are coming down into the Middle East against Israel. Now, isn't it very, very interesting that when we went into Iraq the last time, Germany and Russia were against it, and they were together. And Iran is a figure now in the midst of all of this trouble that's happening there. They have emerged as the promoter of all of the trouble that's happening there right now. And they are mentioned along with Germany and Russia along in that 38th chapter. And Libya and Ethiopia are mentioned, and they've always been associates and friends of Russia. Isn't it interesting that all of those nations right now are geared to come against Israel? You say, well, will they come this time? No, but they're coming. Because the Word of God said that they're coming. But it should blow your mind that those nations, by those names, are arrayed in those relationships and that they're even there. There are many, many nations back to the time of the biblical prophecy that don't even exist anymore. But these do. And they are coming down. It'll be under a United Nations banner. But the Word of God said the nations are going to come down and worship God. Well, first they're going to come down and bow a knee at Jerusalem. They're going to come down at Armageddon, and God's going to take care of business in about a heartbeat. And then they're going to all come down to Jerusalem to worship. Daniel chapter 7, the bear is Russia. The leopard is Germany, and those nations are figuring in mightily in this end time prophecy. And Revelation 13 and the conglomerate beast there, the bear is there again. The leopard of Germany is there again. It speaks with the mouth of the lion. That's Great Britain, and that's exactly what the United Nations does. It's a conglomerate of nations, but its primary language is English. And this is so astounding to me. It's so amazing to me. what God has done here. Don't ever make a mistake about it. The parliaments, the kings, the dignitaries, the movers and shakers, the money handlers, none of those personalities determine the destiny of these nations. They are all determined by the behest, by the word, by the drawing of the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God. Can you say praise the Lord? I want you to know and get on board with this. Everything in this world is moving in the direction that God has prophesied. Individual men and women may decide they don't want to serve God. He's allowed you to be a free moral agent. You can go where you want, do what you want to do. But I'm telling you this, everything is coming to Jerusalem. Everything is coming to Jerusalem. It's like there's this drawing force that's radiating out into the world now, and inexorably they're being drawn to Jerusalem. Ezekiel says, I'm going to put a hook in your jaw, talking about Russia, and I'm going to bring you down into that place. They won't be able to help themselves. They're identified, they're named, and they're being drawn even now. And it's all about the business of a sign, so that anybody with a hungry heart and with an open eye can see it today. There is no mistaking it. It's taking place exactly like the word of God has prophesied. And my God, it's a day to be right with God. It's a day to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 9 is about the sixth trump, and verses 13 through 16 talks about an army of 200 million that'll come from east to the Euphrates. You have to synthesize the sixth trump and the sixth vial, and we're not going to do all the details and spend a lot of time on it tonight, but just simply to say there's never in all the history of man been an army of 200 million. When John made that prophecy, there weren't 200 million people in all the world, but tonight there's an army of 200 million east of the Euphrates. And they wear the insignia of the Red Chinese Army. And the word of God said it 2,000 years ago. And now they're there on the deck for you to see and for you to look at it and make up your mind. There is a God in the heavens, and his works are like nobody's works. And there's nobody like him, and there's no God like him. He is God alone. Praise God. They're having their meetings in the United Nations, but they couldn't move in a direction that God hasn't already ordained if they wanted to. They're being led right down the path that God has chosen for them. And if a man won't vote in that direction, God will move him and put another man there. But it's going to happen just like the word of God has declared. You can go to the bank. You can trust in this word. You can build your life upon this word. There is nothing like this in all the world. Praise God. Praise God. They don't teach this in the great universities. Teach this in the great word of God. And then finally, Zechariah chapter 14 and beginning with verse 16. At Armageddon, all these nations are going to be drawn to Jerusalem. They're going to have a bit of a disaster there. And then those that are left are going to come down to Jerusalem to worship. And that will initiate the beginning of the next dispensation. Zechariah 14 and 16, it'll come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of the tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not. They're going to come. God's going to make them come. They're all coming to Jerusalem. Everything's coming to Jerusalem. Everything's coming to the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everything is drawn inexorably, and they can't stop it, and they can't change it. The only thing you have an option to do is get. Look, let me tell you something. You're coming to God. You're coming to God. You're going to come and you're going to bow down at his feet. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. You might say, well, I'm not going to serve God. Yes, you are. You're going to come to God. You may not live for him and you may not live with him forever, but you're going to come to God. You may say, well, I'm mad at God. Well, you're just going to come mad then. Well, I hate God. Well, you're going to come hating God, but you're going to come. Every nation's going to come. And you, the only option you have is to bow your knee right now, get that Holy Ghost. Get your sins washed away in baptism. Get on God's side. Get on the winning side of this thing and watch this prophecy come to pass while you're in God's cheering section. While you're in God's cheering section, you're saying, yes, look at God. Yes, he's doing it in our day. Look what an awesome God he is. Look how awesome his works are. There's nobody like him. Praise God. We're excited about all this that's going on. We're excited about Israel in the land. We're excited. I was listening to the president of Lebanon tonight, and he's hacked off. He's angry. And Iran is hacked off, and they're angry. And Kofi Annan is angry, and he's hacked off. But he has to say it in diplomatic language. And they're all angry about it. But they're all coming to Jerusalem. And they think they're coming to Jerusalem to win. And they think they're coming to Jerusalem to overthrow. And they think they're coming. And the Antichrist is going to sit himself on the throne in Jerusalem for just a little while and show that he is God. Have you read that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? He's going to show himself that he is God. But it won't last for long. God's bringing everybody, the devil included, to Jerusalem. And then he's going to start the whole new program. Praise God. It's going to be about that slick and about that quick, and you need to be on the winning side of this thing. You need to get on the right side of this thing. Don't let the pressure of a day bog you down in this world. Don't let the circumstances around you steal your joy. My God, we're on a trip tonight. We're all heading toward Jerusalem. We're heading toward New Jerusalem, and they're heading toward a meeting with God they don't want to have. The church of the living God is heading to New Jerusalem. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, here I come. Have you heard that? They've got some pretty mansions there, and I'm going to get me one. You've heard that song before. I know you have. Praise God. Anybody going to Jerusalem? Everybody's going to Jerusalem. Everybody's going. Praise God. You might not go today. You might not hop in LL and go in the natural right now, but we're all going. Everybody's going. All you got to decide is what part of the program you want to be involved in and whose side you want to be on when you get there. Praise God. Have you read it? When that seventh trump sounds, we're going up. Now, how many of you are going up when the seventh trump sounds? When the last trump sounds, we're going up. Well, you know what the word of God said? It said he's coming back with 10,000s, plural, of his saints. About all we're going to have time for is to get up, get on, get ready, and come back. We're going to be part of that coming to Jesus meeting at Jerusalem. My, my. Are you ready for that? Are you excited about that? Okay. You need to get on the winning side of all this prophecy. Don't need to be afraid. That's not the winning side. Oh, I'm afraid the Lord's coming. Don't be afraid he's coming. He is coming. You need to get on the right side of that and say, I'm so excited God's coming. Because you got to sing the song of the church in Revelation. You got to be able to sing, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Praise God. You got to be able to sing that. Well, when he comes now, somebody's going to be having a baby. And God's going to sort all that out. We're not even going to try. Somebody's going to be walking down the aisle getting married. Da, 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 ba-doo, ba-doo, and there you go. Never got to kiss him. Somebody's going to be doing anything people can do. Somebody's going to be doing that when the Lord comes. Praise God. I'm telling you, even so, come quick. Don't let, well, I want to finish college, or I want to get out of high school, or I want to get married, or I want to build a house, or I want to do my business, or I want to build a church, or I want to, well, there's a lot of good things, and we do want to do all those good things that God allows in the kingdom, but none of them, the winning side of this is that none of them are nearly as important as his coming. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Well, praise God. Praise God. I got two grandbabies on the way. They tell me that's a wonderful experience, but that's not as important as the coming of the Lord. Even so, come quickly. Come on, Sister Sutton. Got to get on the winning side of this thing. Got to get on the right side. You're going to be outside the door. And the Lord's going to come. Come on now, we'll see those babies on the other side. We'll get to see them in the heavens. It'll be a lot better. Make no mistake about this. When God does stuff, he does good. And understand this. You're going to like what God does if you're on the winning side of this. Whatever he does, it's going to be good, and it's going to be better than what would have been had he not. Did that make any sense? God does good work. That's what David said. He said, nobody does works like God. God does good works, and there's nobody like him. He's God all by himself. He's God alone. Praise God. Now, we do have a little time left tonight, and I want to go on down to verse 11 and 12. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Everybody say, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. If you're on the wrong side of all this, your heart, you'll have a place reserved in your heart where you won't let God go. You won't let him take ownership there. You won't give that part of your life and your heart to God. But we want to worship God with all of our heart. Now, I heard Brother Wilbanks preach this last Wednesday night or Wednesday night before last. Here in this pulpit. I heard him via the wonderful medium of the internet. And he preached about worshiping God with all of your heart. I understand that. And that's good. Because that's what we are dealing with in this scripture. He said, unite my heart. Oh God, what a strange idea. He said, unite my heart, oh God. My heart's divided. Do any of you ever feel like when you're riding along in your own thoughts, in your own counsel, with your own heart, all by yourself, like you're driving a bus load of unruly children? Do any of you have your thoughts and your heart and your mind and your spirit and your past and the pressures talking to you? I don't know. Maybe I'm just schizophrenic. Quiet back there. But I'm driving the bus. I have driven a bus load of unruly children before. Sis Tasha wouldn't allow that on her bus. That's right. Man, you go back to 1950 when you get on Sustasha's bus. Those kids come bebopping up there with their baggy clothes and all, and step on there. It's like, vroom, time warp. They come walking off there like Leave It to Beaver. But there's a cacophony of voices and pulses and impressions. And not only your voices, but demonic voices. Voices of things from your past. Voices of impressions, spiritual impressions around you. Speaking to you while you're driving down the road of your day, your life. All those voices are, let's stop here. Let's get that. I'm tired. Are we there yet? He's hitting me. She's poking me. All that unruly business going on in the back, trying to get you to pull over and stop. trying to distract you from your way and make you have a wreck, trying to make you turn around and go back the other way, trying to make you stop at every little glittering light along the way. I know what that's like. My children learned how to read from fast food signs. I mean, they're 3 years old. Burger King. The kids are geniuses. My kids were geniuses. They could read. Taco Bell. Two-year-old. It's amazing. How McDonald's, that's a big word. But they can read that when they're 2 years old. And they're trying to get you to stop at every place along the way. But we got places to go. We've got things to do. We've got a mission to accomplish. We've got a life to live for God. And there's always voices and there's always pressures. And some of them are demonic and some of them are past human experiences. And some of them are our own doubts and our own fears. And they're talking to us and they're struggling. And the Romans chapter 8 says that your natural mind is never subject to the word of God. And neither indeed it can it be. You'll never get your mind on the winning side. You'll take your mind to the winning side, but you won't ever change it. Because as you're dragging your mind along, it's saying, I don't know about this. This faith business doesn't make a lot of sense. Are you sure you want to do this? I don't know if we want to do this or not. Can we pull over and talk about this? Your natural mind will always speak against faith. When you really get ready to step out and work in faith, you better do it quick. Because there's going to be a lot of counsel going on behind your ears. Natural mind is never going to be subject to the word of God. Paul said that. And your flesh will never cooperate with the kingdom of God. Every now and then you just got to turn around and slap it and say, we're going to fast. That flesh gets to cranking up. You just say, we're not eating. It's amazing how quiet your flesh will get when you threaten it with a 3 to 7 day fast. I didn't say anything. He'll back off. But there are voices in your life and pressures in your life and things that want to get you off the road and out of God's will and turn around and go back and detours and all of that business. But you've got the wheel. And you're doing the driving. And you make the decisions. And you won't ever be able to blame it on the pressure or the circumstances, and those things change daily. But we just drive right on through. We drive through the wind and the rain and the trouble and the interference and the potholes and the gravel roads and the breakdowns and all the mean and malicious traffic. We drive right on through it because I've got to go on my way serving God. I've got to go on my way living for God. And I can't let those things that are on the bus with me in my own mind and spirit or out there in the world, I can't let those things stop me from achieving what God has called me to be and to do. Somebody say praise the Lord. There's a premium in the word of God on unity. Unity is a powerful, powerful commodity. For a nation, unity is powerful. The Tower of Babel, God said of heathens who didn't even intend on serving God, God said if they keep cooperating and speaking the same thing and are focused on the same thing, there is nothing that they can imagine that will be withheld from them. They'll be able to do anything they imagine. Can you imagine what that's like for the church of the living God? If we can walk in unity here, those people didn't even have the Holy Ghost. What can the church be like if we get ourselves on the same page and linked together and unified, praise God. There's an emphasis on unity in the Word of God. A family can't be what God's called it to be if it's not unified. Jesus said, "A house divided against itself can't stand." Now that's your house, that's my house, that's the church house. We can't stand unless we're unified. All the devil's got to do is plant a seed of dissent and division, and he will have accomplished just about everything he needs to accomplish in your home or in this church house. But if we can just shut down the contrary voices and get ourselves focused and fixed on the calling of God in our lives and say, nothing is going to disrupt the unity of my house or this house of God or my own personal unity, I'm not going to allow it to happen. I'm driving this bus. Not going to allow it to happen. I'm making decisions based on living on the winning side. Praise God. There's a call to unity in the Word of God. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Help me, Andrew. Pressure, Andrew. Ephesians chapter 4. And yeah, that's right. I got to tell you. Verse 1. He's given me that. The ball's in your court, buddy. Look. Ephesians 4 and 1. Paul said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You need to walk according to what God has called you to be. You don't need to walk like this world or live like people that don't have hope or live like people that don't have the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Everybody say, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. He's teaching a lesson on unity. You know how you do that? You let the other guy off. You give mercy to the other guy. You don't focus on their faults. You just say, oh, they belong to God. Let's go on. Praise God. Would you say endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? There's one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in y'all. That's right. Down to verse 11. And would you say he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints? Would you say for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ? God gives the fivefold ministry. The ministry equips the people of God so that we can all together do the work of the ministry for the edifying or the building up of the kingdom of God, which is the church of the living God. Say, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and strengthened by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is a lesson. This is a tutorial on unity and what unity does. Paul is teaching the church that there's some places they won't ever go without unity. And unity is something unattainable unless the individual makes a decision to walk in unity. Unless the individual decides the differences don't matter. And the mistakes that my brother, my sister make, they don't matter. And if you mean to me, unity's more important than getting you back. My agenda is at the feet of Jesus Christ. It's his agenda that I'm worried about. I don't even hear you cussing me. I don't even hear you criticizing me. I don't even hear you backbiting me. All of that's inconsequential. You get to the back of the bus. I'm driving this thing, and I've made a decision. I'm staying on the winning side. I'm not taking a detour. I'm not turning around. I'm not pulling over to the side of the road. I'm not going to go slower because of all the hubbub in your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. I've made a decision to have unity in my personal life. I've made a decision to have unity in my church association. Well, somebody say, praise the Lord. I've made a decision not to try to capitalize on differences or throw stones at people that aren't like me. Or look at people that haven't come along quite so far in the kingdom of God and belittle them. Or somebody that's backslidden. My God, let's give them a hand up. Let's don't crush them down. Unity. Unity. My eyes on the road. My hands on the wheel. I've got one thing in mind. We're going to go where God's called us to go. Unity. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of disruption. But we're all in the same bus and we're all heading in the same direction. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, when Paul's teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, he starts with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he teaches about the body and he teaches about unity. Chapter 12 and chapter 13 are prefaces or prerequisites for chapter 14, which is a detailed discussion of the gifts of the Spirit. But first, he says, you got to have unity. And secondly, in chapter 13, he said, you got to have love. So unity comes before giftedness. Unity comes before an anointing and a manifestation. Praise God. Got to have it. Got to make that decision. It's not an accident. It's not just the way things are. The way things are, they tend toward chaos. That's how things are. You got to work on keeping a relationship. Because if you just let it go, it'll go. You got to work on getting along with people. If you've got a chip on your shoulder and you're overly sensitive and you're easy to hurt and you're always hurt, you're going to always be hurt. That's life in the city. You're just going to be, you got a thin skin? Not me. Well, it's a good thing. It's a good thing because you're going to always be miserable. And you're never going to have unity because you're always going to be feeling bad about the people that hurt you. But this is the posture of Calvary. I'm ready to embrace you and you can do anything to me you want. And you won't change what I'm doing. And I'm yelling over your assault. But that's the posture of Calvary. And that's the posture of unity. Praise God. And a church can itself until it's pulled over on the side of the road and it couldn't fight the smallest devil in the city. Look at your neighbor and go, You got to get on the winning side of this. You've got to get on the winning side of this. You've got to drive the bus. You've got to make it's a unity is a decision you make. It's not how other people treat you. Well, if people would treat me right, we could have unity. If you would agree with me, we could have unity. Brother Dan, if your wife would do what you told her, y'all could have unity in the home. I just use you for an example, just at random. That was a random thought. All the men said, amen. But statistics say if you'll do what she says, your marriage will last longer and be healthier. Pitiful. But at any rate, there's unity. Everybody say unity. Everything begins with the individual, the home, the family, the church. None of it walks in unity unless an individual has made a commitment and a determination and by choice, exercising every day choice, says, I'm going to walk in unity with the body. I'm going to walk in unity with my family. I'm going to walk in unity with the calling of God. And in myself, although I have voices and a cacophony of passions and temptations and past events and experiences that are crying out in my mind and in my spirit, I'm not listening to them. I'm pressing on in unity. You folks don't have voices in your head? Well, I'm going to quit here. Matthew chapter 6, 21 through 24. Andrew? Matthew chapter 6, 21 through 24. Jesus is teaching. Everyone say, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can't lay up treasure in the world and be at unity with the things of God. You're going to be at odds with the things of God. You need to lay up your treasure in the kingdom of God. That way, you'll always be at unity with God. I know this is so simple. The light of the body is the eye. If your eye is single or you're focused, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your body will be full of darkness. And if it's darkness that's in you, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, would you say no man can serve two masters? Because he'll hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and... Well, you just leave that blank. You cannot serve God and anything else. Whatever it is. Whatever's competing for your passion, you have to relegate it to a subordinate position. And you have to say, there's nobody like God. There's no one that does the works that God does. And I'm going to be on God's side. I'm going to be found on God's side. If I make a mistake, I'm going to make it on God's side. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. We'll pull up here. If we pursue this again, we'll do some work in Deuteronomy 6. God's called us to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you took wedding vows? Brother Mike, did one of the vows go something like this? And forsaking all others, I will cleave unto her and to her alone. Something like that. Yeah. You're the only one for me. Okay? So you said something like that, whether it was formal or colloquial. Yeah. Did you mean it? You did. Did you hold him to it? Yeah. That's right. And you don't have one in Montgomery and another one up in Huntsville and one in Tallahassee. And you don't. Well, why not? Because see, like if she was giving you a pain in the neck, you could go down and visit with somebody else. In Tallahassee or Montgomery or Huntsville. And if she didn't agree with you about something, you could go find one that would. But see, that's the problem. Just like you said, I made a vow unto God. I said, forsaking all others, this is the only one that I'm going to cleave to. Praise God. And that's exactly what we do. The marriage structure and vow is exactly like our relationship with God and our vow to God. When we came to the altar, we said, forsaking all others, I'm going to cleave to him and to him alone. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. David said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. Paul said, this one thing is what I'm going to do. I'm going to press. I'm going to forget those things that are behind. I've got my eye on the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what I'm pressing toward. Focused on one thing, and I've cut off all other possibilities. It would help. If we had music at a time like this, it would really help. It sets the stage, creates ambiance, and makes people want to run to the altar and get a hold of the kingdom of God. But you feel how dry it feels right now? Feels like a kind of like a Baptist church or something. Yeah, that feels better already. Praise God. Let's stand together. Praise God. Why don't you get with your family, husbands with wives. If you don't have anybody, adopt somebody. But why don't we come down to the altar and revisit some vows and make some new ones. God, unite our heart. God, help me to get my heart focused and singular in its purpose. Praise God. If you're a dad, go ahead and get your arms around the kids and the wife. And begin to pray, God, unite our hearts. If you're standing all by yourself, that's David's prayer. God, unite my heart, and I'll praise you with all of my heart. Hallelujah.
That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love you. I love you.
Praise God. The winning side of this thing is a side that's full of unity. Shove everything else aside. We're going to stick together as a church. We're going to stick together as a family. As individuals, we're going to have a focus and a purpose that is God's and God's alone. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Could we give him a little praise here? Just begin to lift up a voice of praise. Magnify him. How awesome are your ways, O God. We praise you. We worship you. We lift you up. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, Saturday night at 6 o'clock, one of my favorite preachers in all of Pentecost is going to be in this pulpit. And we need all hands on deck. You want to bring friends and family, bring anybody to the house. Nobody like Brother Larry Booker. You want to be sure that you get yourself here and that you get somebody with you. Friday night, we've got Spanish English class. And we've got Spanish Bible study, and we've got youth service, and all kind of interesting things happening here. God bless you. There are several meetings. I have forgotten what they are, but just two of them are in the prayer room. If you're in special events, come to my office. God bless you. And promotion.